ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
From an Ipswich fish and chip shop to the epicentre of Australian politics.
Please explain.
Pauline Hanson is making its One Nation.
This is the unlikely story of One Nation.
Well, I'm back.
Is it a passing protest vote or a permanent realignment of Australian politics?
Whether you love her or hate her, truth is stranger than fiction.
The making of One Nation. To hear the full series, search for The Making of One Nation on ABC Listen.
Hello, welcome to The Music Show on ABC Radio National. I'm Andrew Ford, and this is Cover Story. One great song, lots of cover versions, not all of them great, but all of them worth talking about.
Can't buy me love.
If it makes you feel all right, I'll get you anything, my friend. If it...
I don't care too much for money.
It's the 15th episode of Cover Stories, and we've put off doing a Beatles song all this time because it's so hard to choose. The sheer productivity is astonishing. In 1964 alone, there are 10 good possibilities. We could have had A Hard Day's Night. We could have had I Feel Fine. We could have had 8 Days a Week. But we've gone, as you've heard, for Can't Buy Me Love. 1964 was the year of their first and second US tours and their Australian tour, and the film A Hard Day's Night was made and released. They kept themselves busy, did the Beatles. And a measure of their fame at this time, prior to their second US tour, they received an invitation from Lyndon Johnson, inviting them to have their photo taken laying flowers on President Kennedy's grave. They politely declined. My guests today, rapper, producer and songwriter for our Middle of the Air project, Dobby, and ABC Classic Drive's Vanessa Hughes. Can't Buy Me Love, like a lot of songs at the beginning of the 1960s, is short. It doesn't even have a middle eight, but it's not the shortest version on today's playlist, so we have room for lots of versions. And we'll start, as we always do, with the original. It's March 1964, and it's the Beatles.
Can't buy me love, love, can't buy me love. I'll buy you a diamond ring, my friend, if it makes you feel all right. I'll get you anything, my friend, if it makes you feel all right. Cause I don't care too much for money, but money can buy me love. I'll give you all I've got to give. You say you love me too. I may not have a lot to give, but what I got, I'll give to you. I don't care too much for money. The money can buy me love. Can buy me love. Everybody tells me so. Can buy me love. No, 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 no. Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me
money. The Beatles' Can't Buy Me Love came out in March 1964 and still sounds as fresh as a daisy. Welcome to the music show, Vanessa Hughes. And Dobby, thank you very much for coming in.
Hi, Eddie. Hey,
so good to be here.
Does it sound fresh as a daisy to you, Dobby?
Oh, absolutely. Every time I hear it, it just feels electrifying. Like yeah. It's just blowing out the speakers.
It is that kind of song, isn't it? Yeah. And blessedly short as well.
I mean, it could have been even shorter, Andy. I mean, they didn't want to start with that hook or chorus. George Martin encouraged them to slap it on the start. So it would have been record-breakingly short. This is music that, for me, I grew up listening to. I had that double CD albums of the Beatles for the compact disc player in our house. Otherwise, it was all on vinyl. To me, it absolutely is as fresh as a daisy and sweet. Like, I don't think it's the most divinely soul-searching of their songs, but for me, it's got the twist and shout that I adore from them. And yes, there's no apologies made for the fact that it's a rip-snorter of a tune.
No.
Rip-snorter.
It's a 12-bar blues.
Yeah. Mm.
The verses, anyway. And I think it was the first 12-bar blues that they had done, certainly as a single, anyway. And the other thing that was unusual about it, and I can pull rank slightly because I was there when it was released. It came out 2 days before my 7th birthday.
Hey.
The thing that was surprising, I realise now, is that it doesn't have any harmonies on it. And they were a harmony group, you know, up until this point and beyond as well. But this is just two Paul McCartneys on top of each other for the vocal line, and there's no harmonies at all. So that's one of the things that makes it such a rip snorter, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for me, it's realizing this was, you know, one of their classic chorus at the front songs. And when someone pointed that out to me, this was the first song I thought of. And I thought, what a bold way to start the song and to really just slap on, like you're saying, like to advertise it as this song, Can't Buy Me Love, and it happens right at the start. It's such a firecracker.
Yes.
Really, really firecracker song.
We're building to Help, actually. Help is the best example of that chorus at the front.
Help! Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, well, I think maybe we should go straight into the first of our cover versions. And it's worth saying, perhaps, that from the 1930s and 40s, it was true that when a song came out, there would be lots and lots of different versions of it almost immediately. And this was still happening in 1964. So the first three cover versions that we're going to hear today come from the same year that the song was released. And the first one we're going to hear is The Supremes.
Can't buy me.
That's the Supremes version of the Beatles' Can't Buy Me Love. It comes from an album called A Bit of Liverpool. Came out the same year as the original. It's not a Supremes song, really, is it, Vanessa?
It's really not the Supremes. I mean, I feel like that's the issue with it for me. This was 1964. As you say, Andy, it's right at the time the song's just coming out. All these different versions are coming out as well. That's great for the Beatles. Is this great for the Supremes? No. I mean, a cute idea to just release a whole album of British invasion acts. The Motown label just wanted to get them in front of as many audiences as possible. So lots of themed albums in a row and nothing really them. So I think they recorded that in one day on a stop to do a TV appearance in LA, and I feel like you can hear it.
Wow.
Like their heart isn't in it.
It's sort of like... Even the scream.
The scream is just like, oh, I guess they scream, we should scream now. It's sort of paint by numbers, and what you mentioned about the harmonies in the original, that choice not to have harmonies, and then to just like, I mean, at least they tell you straight from the start, it's the first thing that you hear is their harmony. and it just isn't quite it. It's not really working. And like, I love that harmony. I find it totally irresistible, but it's just not right for this song.
I mean, the only thing that I found creative in this cover is the drummer, just really finding this midway between swing and straight. But the bass player just feeling like I'm going to hold it down.
But you listen to this and you think, this is why they needed Lamont Dozier and the Holden Brothers. Mm. I mean, they knew how to write a Supreme song, but not this one. Mm. No, it's a shame. It's a shame. You'd think they might have come up with something better, but perhaps they were a bit rushed, as you say.
Not a project they were super excited to do. No. You're just getting started. I guess you're doing exactly what the label's telling you to do, aren't you? So yes. I think that's what it sounds like.
But it does show, doesn't it, how spooked American pop was by the advent of the Beatles, that they suddenly have, you know, the Supremes, who were a big name. Now you've got to do Beatles songs.
Yeah.
Mm. Already in 1964.
Mm. Yep, strain on it. They're not risking it.
They're not, no. All right. Well, this is also from 1964, and I think it's fair to say this is a rather more considered version from Ella Fitzgerald.
Can't buy me love. Can't buy me love. Can't buy. My friend, if it makes you feel all right. For I don't care too much for money can't buy me love. I'll give you all I've got to give if you say you love me too. I may not have a lot to give, but what I've got I'll give to you. For I don't care too much for money can't buy me love, can't buy me love. Just can't buy. I don't care too much for money can buy me love. Don't want money. Who wants money? I don't care too much for money, 'cause money can't buy me love.
Ella Fitzgerald from 1964. I just wish she had just kept going up and up up.
Yeah.
Every key. Verse a semitone higher, and until finally only dogs could hear her. Well, what do you reckon, Dobby?
This is one of my favorites. It feels like a reclaiming of sorts, you know, for me. This song from England and the way that Ella Fitzgerald and her band have just brought it into that genre. You said same year they were recorded
same
as well.
Year.
Yeah, it feels, so there's just so much that feels so invigorating about it and reclaiming this idea of black music. This is what excites me about this cover for sure.
And she starts off, I think, sounds a little uncomfortable, But then she starts being Ella Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
And there's less and less of the Beatles about it as it goes on. The first sort of 30 seconds is vaguely respectful to the original, but then it turns into an Ella number.
I feel like it could be a marketing strategy. Like, don't turn this off straight away. Like, I'm going to do a Beatles song. It's the Beatles. Mm. And then she lets rip. I mean, you can really hear that it's unlike the Supremes version, made with so much love.
Mm.
You know, she was such a huge Beatles fan her whole life. She talked about it all the time. As you were saying, Dobby, it's so invigorating. It has this real considered nature to it. It feels so full. And like they could have studied that song for 20 years and come up with this arrangement. And yet it's so fresh because it's come out just that same year, this 1964 time. But yeah, I mean, I feel like she goes full Ella with it by the end, as you say, Andy. And she's so herself and sort of taking that, you know, 12 bar blues English thing that, you know, Paul McCartney said, it was my attempt to do a bluesy song for once. And she says, well, I'll show you what jazz is.
Yes.
And what big band is. And I think George Martin arranged this.
It was one of George Martin's friends, Johnny Spence. And it's actually recorded in the UK. And Johnny Spence worked with a lot of pop musicians in the 1960s. And I'm sorry, I know this because I went down a Johnny Spence rabbit hole. I know that his pallbearers included Tom Jones and Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Wow.
He did a lot of these arrangements, and three of the tracks on Ella Fitzgerald's album Hello Dolly from 1964 are Johnny Spence arrangements, and this is one of them. But it sounds very, you know, it could be Count Basie.
Yes, yeah. A lot of those horn licks for sure. And I feel this song speaks to the purpose of what a cover could and, in my opinion, should be. It's taking something from an original source to your own world and telling your own spin on it, you know, bringing that personal story to it. And this is totally Ella, as you say.
What did you think, Dobby, about the drums? Because I enjoyed watching you listen out specifically to all the percussion in that.
I mean, yeah, for sure. Basie, Tom Kubis, big band it reminded me of. It's a lightning band, you know. I want to know how many months between the original and when they recorded and arranged this.
That it should have been put together so effectively,
fast,
so quickly. But I should also say that my dad was a big Ella Fitzgerald fan. So he had Ella Fitzgerald records, and I was the Beatles fan, this 7-year-old. Uh-huh. And so suddenly there was this meeting of minds when Ella started singing Beatles songs. So it was historic in my household.
Wow.
Let's stay with jazz. This is Stanley Turrentine. Stanley Turrentine from 1964 again, although the track wasn't released until 1980. And working there with McCoy Tyner on piano and Elvin Jones on drums, in other words, half of John Coltrane's quartet. So they were used to working with tenor sax players, and he acquits himself very well indeed, doesn't it? It's a beautiful sound, Dobby.
Oh, I love it. And Elvin is, you know, one of my favourite drummers for sure. And it, you know, this is the hard bop era. I'm thinking Art Blakey, you know, Monk, Mingus. That sound is just so ingrained in, like, my training as a jazz drummer. And I love the feeling of Can't Buy Me Love in this context so much. It's something that I didn't expect. And, you know, I could listen to that for days.
And in fact, you don't know it's Can't Buy Me Love, and it might as well not be until the chorus comes in, because it is just the 12-bar blues.
Right.
And it could be any old 12-bar blues to start with.
I love hearing a jazz combo cover of something that's lyrical and then you don't get to hear it. And then you kind of go on this journey of where the lyrics play and sit in an instrumental song like this. You know, I wonder what you guys think about where it felt for you in terms of its theme. Where was the Can't Buy Me Love message?
I mean, I think it felt completely real. It felt completely vulnerable and completely sincere. I feel like every version we've listened to so far, every cover, has started off a bit polite. And then it's just opening up to that, you know, that preaching style that Tarantine was so famous for. But that beginning, for the first time we're hearing harmony working in the opening with Lee Morgan's trumpet with the tenor sax. Yeah. And for some reason that works so much better than the Supremes harmonies. Mm. And maybe it's because they give it a sec before they come in, but they're working so beautifully in tandem, just slightly apart. And they're so in sync, it's so neat and tidy. And then it's all just unfolding and becoming completely organic sounding to my ears.
Mm. Yeah, and Lee Morgan's solo is beautiful too. Mm-hmm.
This was my three-year-old's favourite.
Oh,
in fact, the
wow.
second we started this one, she grabbed a straw and started saying, "Mummy, I'm playing my trumpet," and going, "Ah!" I mean, I'm not going to do it, but it was loud, like a trumpet.
And because of this song?
Oh, she loved this one more than any other.
Wow.
So there you go. Yeah. I was surprised. She likes K-pop Demon Hunters.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she
there
likes
is hope.
Two songs, K-pop Demon Hunters and
Tarantine.
Yeah.
Can't Buy Me Love.
It is interesting, isn't it, when you take away the vocals, when you take away the words, you actually lose quite a lot with this song. I mean, you gain a lot because of the caliber of these players and they're doing something different.
Mm.
But the actual song itself really sort of depends on the words and the rhythm of the words. One of the things I've always loved about the original Beatles version is the way that the second verse has a different rhythm to it, because it's "Buy you diamond rings" to start with, and then the second verse is "Say you don't need those diamond rings," and it's completely different take on the tune. And you take those words out, and you don't have that anymore.
That's right.
That kind of bounce of the second one.
I mean, the choice to choose this song as a instrumental jazz combo is amazing. You know, because it speaks to what the melody provides without the lyrics. You know, it has so much grounding and foundation as anything. And I feel that, you know, that's what a good song is.
Maybe it's the irony of the lyric that I think you can still hear in this. So it's like, I mean, the whole sentiment of the song is, you know, and I know that McCartney talked a lot about this in his later years, you know, really, they'd just come back from Florida. He was this little Liverpudlian the Scouser who was surrounded by beautiful women who were all tanned in Miami, and they were driving around in nice cars, and he was like, "Actually, Can't Buy Me Love. Turns out this is great." And he looked back on the song and saying, like, "We should have said Can't Buy Me Love." But I feel like you can hear that, especially in the Ella Fitzgerald version and the Stanley Tarantine cover.
Yeah.
There's this sense of tongue-in-cheek about the meaning of the song. There's something a bit flirty and saucy about it to me. I guess that maybe I'm hearing more in the jazz sound.
Yeah, and to add on to that, I think this is the coolest cover on the list.
Ooh,
yes.
Big call there.
I think it's super cool.
Although... It has a lot of competition from our next cover version, because having heard a version without the words, here's the version without the music.
Okay. I'll buy you a diamond ring, my friend, if it makes you feel all right. I'll get you anything, my friend, if it makes you feel all right.
Ah, but I don't care too much for money. Money can't buy me love.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you all I've got to give, if you say you love me. True. I may not have a lot to give, but what I've got, I'll give to you.
But I don't care too much for money. Money cannot buy me love.
Can't buy me love?
No.
Everybody tells me so.
Not it.
Can't buy me love?
No. 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 Stop it.
Well, then, say you don't need no diamond ring. I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of thing that money just can't buy.
But, you see, I just don't care too much for money. Money cannot buy me love.
I see. Well, good night.
Balls.
That was Peter Sellers, as some of our listeners will have worked out, from 1965, from the same EP that brought us his Hard Day's Night in the style of Laurence Olivier doing Richard III. Well, you were doing a very passable imitation of Peter Sellers doing a very passable imitation of whoever that was meant to be, some retired colonel. Vanessa?
I mean, yes. This is Peter Sellers' genius. I mean, today there's almost, it's just been completely displaced with memes, but Peter Sellers was a walking meme, you know, like a fully formed, brilliant moment or class or snapshot of pocket of society captured with just the most fantastic cheek. I feel like the thing about it for me is that he is inside my head. I mean, I feel like I'm scarily revealing, I don't know about Andy, you or Dobby, you, what's going on in your head when you are sitting by yourself and you're thinking about lyrics you've heard, but that is what's happening in my head.
Do you sit at home and you go, can't buy me love?
Can't buy me love? Absolutely. It's made with so much love again. You can tell he loved the Beatles and the Beatles loved him. How could you not? And it is pulling apart, as you say, Andy, without the music in this performance art moment of joy, of we all love this song, but look how silly it is. There's also something about the lecherousness to me that really lands. I mean, it's funny that it's this song that he picks. Mm. I mean, there are so many more offensive songs by the Beatles, you know, Run For Your Life, like where you could really do it. But it's so funny and so bang on. Mm-hmm. I mean, what I've got, I'll give to you.
Yes.
It's repulsive. He's just so good.
But there is one moment of pure cover of the original, which is the no.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, true.
The escalation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a this cover made me go back to the original because I thought, wait a second, I didn't realize this was a dialogue, you know, when you listen to the Beatles song, Can't Buy Me Love, and you're thinking, okay, wait, if this were a two-way conversation, how would this play out? I just hear it as one voice.
Mm.
That was a really good provocation.
Yes.
For me.
So imaginative. I think it is one voice in the Beatles, even though there are two Paul McCartneys. But it works this way.
As two, yeah, yeah. So the whole context changes. It was like, oh, this is a dirty song.
It's a dirty song. With a stitched up, you know, you're in Importance of Being Earnest. You're in a Saki story. It's completely lewd. It's all innuendo. Mm. And then occasionally that repulsive guttural thing in the back of his throat, which makes you feel physically sick.
All right. Well, let's have another version with no words. This is Chet Atkins from Chet Atkins Picks on the Beatles.
Thank you.
Chet Atkins' version of Can't Buy Me Love from 1966 from his album Chet Atkins Picks on the Beatles, an album that had sleeve notes by George Harrison, who was a big Chet Atkins fan. Dobby, what do you reckon?
I love this cover. I think if I had to lay down a list on rank, I think this would fall back for me. The jazz covers really speak to me a little bit more. But yeah, that's just me. I kind of feel like this sort of lacks for me.
Is it because it's just straight country sound?
I think it's because it's straight country and I don't know the vocabulary as much in the country world. I think that's probably where I am.
I mean, my understanding of Chet Atkins, ironically, is that he was too jazzy to keep a job. Mm. So it's funny, but I hear the same thing as you do, Dobby. I hear it quite straight. I really have a fondness for country music and I have a fondness for picking.
Mm. Right.
You know, I bought an auto harp like 5 years ago, obviously.
I didn't know they still made those.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it was hard to get.
That's so 60s.
It's very 60s. Hoping to be able to do that. Obviously, I cannot. But I do. I love that sound. And I feel like it speaks to the more rigid rhythms of the Beatles songs. Mm. Like it sort of fits there. And I think what I hear is Chet loving the Beatles. Mm. And I'm not sure, despite George Harrison absolutely adoring Chet, I'm not sure I hear Can't Buy Me Love loving Chet, if that makes sense.
No, no, I think it's a bit like the Supremes version, that it doesn't really do anything for the song or for the performers. It's perhaps a little bit pointless.
Mm.
You're listening to The Music Show on ABC Radio National. It's our final cover story of this season, and our subject is The Beatles' Can't Buy Me Love. And I must say, I think this is probably the biggest variety of covers that we've ever had on a cover story. And if you don't believe me, well, try this one.
I'll buy you a diamond ring, my friend, if it makes you feel all right. I'll get you anything, my friend, if it makes you feel all right. I don't care too much for money. Money can't buy me love, can't buy me love. Can't buy me love, everybody tells me so. Can't buy me love,
can't buy me love,
can't buy me love, oh no, oh no. I'll give you all I've got to give if you say you love me too. I may not have a lot to give, but what I've got I'll give to you. I don't care too much for money. Money can't buy me love. La 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 la. Say that you need no diamond rings and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things that money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can't buy me love. I don't care too much for money. Money can't buy me love.
That was the King Singers arrangement by Keith Abbs. It came on their album New Day, which was released in 1980. It's amazing what a few parallel fifths will do, isn't it, Vanessa?
I mean, literally flawless. I am such a huge fan of the King Singers. They are still touring. You know, in their current lineup, they are incredible. They come to Australia all the time. You are guaranteed to have the campest, funnest time at any of their concerts, but always with some soul-destroyingly beautiful numbers as well. This, for me, worked so well. I thought it was a flawless, like Thomas Morley, 16th century Renaissance madrigal imitation, but not just an imitation. Ab's arrangement is masterful.
Ugh.
Watching that sort of cascading tra-la-la-la-la tickled Dobby to no end right here at Radio National. It is brilliant, and it's so hey nonny no.
No, 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 no.
No, 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 no.
No, oh, no, oh, no.
They're tapping into the filth, for some reason, of that Renaissance magical period. You know, these are when the dirtiest songs of all time were written.
Yes.
Go and listen to Will You Buy a Fine Dog by Thomas Morley if you want to avail yourself of some smut. It's definitely not in the style of a 16th century sacred song, and it's so brilliantly using the original for that. I just absolutely adore the lightness, the brilliance of execution, that sound in the trebles there of three countertenors. in a vocal ensemble. I mean, more people should do it. It sounds great.
Dobby, you were having the giggles.
I was having the giggles. I'm still having the giggles. If you're looking for a song to frolic to,
frolic.
This
is
the tune.
That's the word.
You know, let me tell you, when I was a kid in high school, I thought I was the deadliest with, you know, all these different, I would have a song I would love and find all the different covers on iTunes Music Store. And I'd get them and I'd listen to a different one. If I knew about this one in particular, it would have been on high rotation for me, on my iPod Nano, you know.
Well, there can be no higher praise than that. Dobby is one of my guests and Vanessa Hughes is the other on today's music show for our cover story. Here's a very different version again.
Buy me love.
Blackstreet from 1996, their version of Can't Buy Me Love from Another Level, Dobby. I mean, sorry we didn't have a real drummer for you there.
That's right. I was grooving on the production regardless. I mean, this song is such a good cover. It's them, you know, it's uniquely Blackstreet. And it speaks to just how timeless the song is as well, you know. In 1996 it was recorded and it still holds up. And in this context and in this sound world, it feels just as groovy. It's almost like you don't even notice the the smut and dirty innuendo in the lyrics because you're too busy just, you know, grooving along and being feeling sensual.
Yes.
Yeah.
Feeling sensual, yes, but also innocent. There is this innocence to this cover. And I remember the music video to this one from my childhood. And it's so wonderfully 90s tacky. You know, Vaseline lens. I mean, I come at this music from the 90s and, you know, like End of the Road, Boyz II Men, all of these beautiful harmony R&B bands as a young teeny bopper in Sydney who was just completely obsessed with that harmony sound. It's the same reason I bought the Hanson album, okay? But if there was amazing harmonies sung, I was just totally into it. And still, that gets me now. I'm listening to that and I'm on cloud nine.
And they are fairly amazing, especially that kind of slithering around at the beginning.
The movement down, you know, to get this sort of sunk feeling partway through a phrase is so clever. And I mean, this album brought us No Diggity. I mean, how many different... I mean, it's incredible. It stood the test of time, you're right, Dobby.
Mm-hmm.
It
That's
is.
Right.
Well, listen, we haven't had a bossa nova version yet. Let's...
Love can't buy me love.
From the album Relaxing Bossa Lounge 3, that's Tata Menezes. And Can't Buy Me Love. Love a bit of Bossa Nova. Dobby, you a Bossa fan?
Absolutely. A big Bossa fan. There's something about listening to Bossa Nova that transports you to a poolside beach.
You've got an umbrella in your drink?
Yeah. You've got your pina colada. You know, I'm in the Philippines with a mango shake.
There's a lovely flattened fifth in there, isn't there? Mm. I mean, there's a flattened third in the original version, but there's a flattened fifth on May Not Have Her. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Vanessa.
I love her vocal. I was just fascinated by the tone of her voice and singing in a way that no one else has covered. Something really restrained, relaxed, as you say. You're at the poolside. Also, I'm not buying the harmonies. They're getting in the way of, I think if she just left it with her solo vocal, I think we've only had one, maybe two if you include a stray trumpet and tenor sax duet. We've only had one great example, two, King Singers and Blackstreet, who have really nailed the harmonies with a masterful, complex harmonic arrangement. But, you know, I am a bossa novice. I only really understand bossa. I only really know bossa
you
as being
practiced that line.
A slow samba. That's all I can say about it, apart from the fact that I really want to be by that pool.
I mean, this is the slowest samba song I've heard in a while.
It's just very slow.
Yeah.
It's sort of losing me and feeling a bit twee when it starts going the ta, ta, ta.
Well, let's listen to one last cover, and this actually also rethinks the harmony in a different way. There are no flattened fifths in this, to be sure, and there's no flattened thirds either. This is a real rethinking of the harmony from Northern Songs 2022. This is Leo Sayer.
I'll buy you a diamond ring, my friend, if it makes you feel alright. I'll get you anything, my friend, if it makes you feel alright. 'Cause I don't care too much for money. No, I don't care too much for money.
Leo Sayer from 2022, his version of Can't Buy Me Love. That's a very, very different version, Vanessa Hughes.
It is. I mean, I love Leo Sayer. Make no apologies, Leo. That's how Leo lives. And I feel like, you know, if you happen to be lucky enough to live on Gadigal Wangal country, that was recorded, you know, in your neighbourhood as Leo's lockdown project at his house in Glebe. And I've so enjoyed, I know it became quite painful at the time in the pandemic to hear another awful lockdown project and like, what has this person been doing in their basement? But I love this. I love that he decided to make an album of 19 of his, you know, Beatles' favourite songs.
Yeah.
It is slow English funk. There's always an element of dag for me with Leo, but it's sort of like a really nice old cousin I like catching up with. I just find it really wholesome and yeah. makes me grin. I just think of his perm and relax into this very white English funk, slow, slow funk, more slow, slow, slow. And yeah, that's how I feel about it.
What do you think, Dobby?
I love this song. Yeah, I was just thinking about, you know, what you were saying, Vanessa, about its familiarity, and it feels so refreshing. And since this is a program about Can't Buy Me Love, this is the first one that sort of departs from this idea of the song being a love song. This doesn't feel like a love song or anything like that. It feels like almost a freedom song. How he repeats, "I don't care too much for money."
That becomes the chorus, doesn't it?
I don't care.
And then all of a sudden the focus is on like this refusal to play the capitalist game, and it feels more like a song from Secret Life of Walter Mitty, you know, and it makes me want to just go to Nepal and it's a really, really freeing, refreshing song.
And it's almost a disappointment when the chorus comes in.
Can't buy me love. Everybody tells me so.
I don't think it needed that. It could have just sat on "I don't care too much for money" and gone round and round and round. I would have been quite happy with that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Telling me that you want the kind of things that money just can't buy. Cause I don't care too much for money.
Leo Sayer with a not-so-interminable lockdown project. Look, it's been fun. Thank you very much indeed for coming in and doing this cover story with us, Vanessa Hughes and Dobby.
This has been so much fun. I'm really happy to be here, and I love this song, Can't Buy Me Love. Now I'm going to listen to all versions.
Do you have a favourite?
Blackstreet.
Yeah?
Blackstreet is my favourite. But also, you know, shout out to King's Singers.
That did tickle you.
Oh, yeah.
To no
yeah.
end. My favourite would be Ella Fitzgerald, but my 3-year-old Elsie's favourite, definitely Stanley Turrentine.
Okay.
Who would have guessed it?
Who would have guessed it? But, you know.
Your favourite.
I know what you're going to. My favourite, apart from Peter Sellers, I think it might be Leo.
Wow.
I like the way he reimagines it completely. He turns it into a very different song.
Mm.
There's almost nothing of the original left in it.
Mm.
So there you go. And I wasn't expecting that, but there you are.
Mm.
But we'll do what we we always do, which is go back to the beginning, not to the Beatles, actually, but to Paul McCartney, because it's a Paul McCartney song, and we'll hear him singing it live in 1990. Vanessa Hughes, Dobby, thank you very much indeed
for being
on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for coming in. Paul McCartney with Can't Buy Me Love Live. The music show is produced by Sky Kirkham and C. Benedict. Technical production from Isabella Tropiano. The show is made on Gadigal, Gundungurra and Wurundjeri Woi Wurrung country. And that's it for this series of Cover Story. Thanks to all of our guests. You can listen to the whole series via the podcast or ABC Listen. And there are now 15 episodes, so if you've missed any or if you want to go back and check them out again, there they are. I hope that you will find stuff there to amuse and entertain you. And why not treat yourself, for example, to a heavy metal Kate Bush or Britney Spears doing the Rolling Stones or this rather dramatic take on Bob Dylan. Till next time.
For the times... they are a-changing.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.